Hi, welcome to The Record. I'm Jeannie Yandel. And if you've seen a tweet from the Wash.Seattle Traffic Twitter account with a poop emoji, it's likely my next guest sent that tweet. Allie Barrera is one of two team members who runs that Seattle Traffic Twitter account, and Mike Allende runs the Twitter account for the entire Washington Department of Transportation. Allie, Mike, welcome to KUOW.
Thanks for having us.
You got to watch me blip and start over, which is one of the fun things about live radio. But I noticed this morning on Twitter that, Mike, you tweeted out you were going to be here on KUOW today. Allie, you responded saying that you were nervous because it's hard to communicate with either GIFs or GIFs on the radio. I actually don't know how to pronounce that word, and there's kind of a controversy over how it's pronounced correctly. So this is one of the disconnects between Twitter and radio. I'm going to get you both on the record now. Allie, how do you say it, GIF or GIF?
Honestly, I think it changes daily. I think as of right now, I'm going with the hard G, GIF.
GIF. Okay. Mike, how about you?
She just gave you the right answer.
Okay.
At least as far as I'm concerned. I believe it's GIF, although overall, I'm quite sure that I'm incorrect about that, and I think it's supposed to be GIF, but I just cannot bring myself to say it that way. It feels wrong.
Okay, well, we have consensus in the room that it's GIF, so for the remainder of the interview, I'm going to say GIF.
Thank you both
for helping me with that. So I'm glad that that helps everybody be a little less nervous. I feel like I have to point out, though, that, I mean, okay, traffic, everybody hates it. Talking about it is not fun. There's not a whole lot of nuance in how you can talk about traffic. It's just either a thing that is weighing you down or it's not. So do you make jokes about how bad the traffic in Seattle is on Twitter for the people who follow you or for yourselves to entertain yourselves? Allie?
I'd say a little bit of both. You know, when I'd work in the afternoon commute times, so I'm not out there in the crush with everyone else, but I've experienced it, so I get it. And in my experience, when people know that you feel their pain, it kind of makes the pain hurt a little less, I feel. So, yeah, it's definitely for those people who are about to head off back home from work and they see that all of I-5 is at a standstill for a good 8 miles. And, you know, if the least I can do is put a smile on their face before they get in the car and have to spend their time in their car for the next hour, then I'm happy to provide that service.
Mike, what about you? Do you make those jokes for yourself or for the followers?
It's a little of both. You know, we try to be smart about it. We try to read the tone of our crowd. And if people seem like they're in the mood for humor, then we'll do that. If it seems like they are not, then we'll try to play it pretty straight. But when we do go for humor, it's usually something that I think will make me laugh. And my hope is that it will make other people laugh as well.
Okay, so you're gauging whether people are in the mood for humor or not. At what point have you received feedback that people are not in the mood for humor when you're talking about traffic, Mike? Can you think of an example?
I don't know about an example, but you know, you do some test tweets, you put it out there, you see what the response is. If the response is one way, that, you know, oh, you're right, this is so absurdly bad traffic that all we can do is laugh about it, then that tells you one thing. And if it just falls flat, then that tells you another thing. And you kind of let them dictate how you handle the rest of that shift.
Allie, you've said that empathy is part of what you do, too, when you're tweeting about traffic in Seattle. Why is empathy an important part of your job?
Well, our followers are smart people. They're going to know when you're trying to, you know, shovel a bunch of BS to them about the traffic. You don't want to lie to them and say, oh, yeah, the roads are great. Don't worry about it. This hour and a half backup, it's going to fly by no problem. Like, they can see right through that. And if you start pandering to them that way, then you're going to lose them. And when something really serious happens, then, you know, they might not come to you for information, that kind of thing. So I think it's just better just to be honest and kind of tell it like it is. And if they respond or reply or ask questions, and, you know, you respond right back to them and feel for them. And if they say, why is it so bad? And be like, I know, guys, I'm right there with you. I've been in that position too. Don't worry. We're in this together.
When I first started this segment, I talked about a tweet with a poop emoji to illustrate how bad traffic is here. We actually had a conversation about this in the KUOW newsroom, and I had a couple of coworkers say, you know what, I'm a huge fan of the poop emoji because it's terrible. Traffic is terrible, so by all means, use that to illustrate how bad it is. I had other coworkers say, I'm already sitting in my car. I don't feel like it's being taken seriously that this is a problem, that Seattle traffic is a real problem. What do you think? I'm not just asking you to sort of drill down on your use of poop emoji here, but what do you think about that? That idea that maybe joking about it means that we're not taking it that seriously.
Well, I think kind of going back to what Mike said, it's all about reading how the followers are that day. And like you said, sometimes a poop emoji goes over really great and sometimes it does not. But again, it kind of goes back to the gotta tell like it is. And sometimes that's through a little poop, a smiling poop. And then other times it isn't. And I mean, obviously we're not going to use poop emojis every day. Because that would get tiring, and then it would be kind of like a joke.
You have to use that sparingly.
Exactly, yeah. Poop emojis only in certain situations.
Yes. Understandable. I wanted to talk also about the maps that I've seen from the WASHDOT Twitter account and from the Seattle Traffic Twitter account. I think they're made with Microsoft Paint. Mm-hmm. In fact, the main WASHDOT account tweeted one out just this morning, sort of looking at events and traffic all over the state. And this is not an insult to your guys' ability with Microsoft Paint, but those maps remind me of some of the art my five-year-old brings home. I find it really charming, actually. Who makes those maps?
I actually do.
Yeah, so Allie's our main artist on those.
So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I think it's great. So why do you want to make maps that sort of look unprofessional, I guess? I mean, they're not polished, but I think that's an intentional thing.
Yeah. Well, the paint maps actually started last year where another one of our communicators, Andrea, she kind of did the first foray into the Microsoft paint map world. We had a really busy weekend. The president was in town. We had Pride Parade and all this stuff. And it was just something that she kind of threw together to kind of illustrate the craziness of how the weekend traffic was going to be. And the drawings were a little crazy and the handwriting was a little crazy and people seemed to really like it. And so this summer we decided to try it again. And the response has been really positive. And mostly it's because, you know, like you said, they're not polished. It's just, you know, very genuine. And here's, you know, something that someone threw together with some effort. takes a little time to draw on Microsoft Paint. You would be surprised. And people, yeah, seem to really like it and get a kick out of it. So if it's something that can help spread our message and prepare drivers for what they're about to face during the weekend, then I'm more than happy to keep doing it.
Mike, I know that you're the social media manager now for all of WASHDOT, but you used to run the Seattle Traffic Twitter handle, too. And you were the person who first started actually using humor to talk about traffic, using GIFs and using emoji and all this other stuff, memes. Why did you decide you wanted to kind of transition away from, you know, I am the social media voice of a state agency to actually joke around about this stuff?
Yeah, it had been moving in that direction a little bit, and then I kind of pushed it a little forward with my own voice. And it comes down to being able to get our message out in the best way that we possibly can. Ultimately, our job is to get information to people. And the way I looked at it was, would I rather get just a bland I-5 traffic is blocked at, you know, wherever, Northeast 45th, or would I rather get it in a way that's a little more creative, maybe some humor, something like that? And so we pushed that forward, and that was kind of an agency decision, and it was working. And clearly, you know, if it wasn't working, we wouldn't have continued to do it, but it was. And so we continued to push that as our way of doing things, both on Twitter and on Facebook and on our other social platforms. And it's been an effective way for us to get information out in a way that people really respond to.
One of the things that you told our producer before we started talking on air was that all of the people who run these tweet accounts are free to find their own voice for WASHDOT. So where would I see your voice show up in tweets for the state traffic agency?
So I handle our primary Washdot account, the at WSDOT account, and then I'll fill in on some other spots if I have to. But you're right. I mean, we really encourage all of our different communicators to lend their own voices, because I think that lends a genuineness to that account that people really connect with. And I think when people try to emulate other people's voices, whether it was me for the people who took over for me in the morning or other accounts, it comes across as false and people pick up on that. And so, and it does take some time. Ali can probably attest to this, that it does take some time to figure out what your voice is going to be on Twitter and what you can kind of get away with, because it's a pretty unexpected thing from a government agency for us to have that kind of conversational voice.
Ali, is that right? Did it take you a while to find your voice on Twitter as the voice of the Seattle traffic Twitter handle for WashDOT?
Yeah, I would say so. I think when I first started, I knew of Mike when he did the WashDOT traffic account and all of his different funny tweets that he had and drawings that he did. And so that was kind of my goal, was to be like him. But then after a while, I realized, just kind of like Mike said, it's better just to be yourself and put your personality out there. And that's what I've been trying to do. And so that means using certain types of memes, throwing GIFs in there that I find funny. And, you know, sometimes they're home runs and sometimes I strike out. But the point is that, you know, you keep trying and figure out what works. And once you find something, just run with it.
And I will say that of all the people who have done the account since I left, Ali is probably the closest to my voice that I've seen do it, which may be why I'm connecting as well as I am with some of her tweets.
Well, if you're not following the WashDOT Twitter account, if you're not following the Seattle Traffic Twitter account from WashDOT, I recommend you do so. It's surprisingly enjoyable when we're talking about traffic. Ali Barrera and Mike Allende, running the social media accounts for WashDOT, thank you both for coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for having us.
This is The Record.